that's just not the same at all. Not the same. It's not the same. But the good news is we out here in Phoenix, Arizona. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday, April 8th at 10:49 a.m. in Phoenix when I'm broadcasting. So this is a little bit different of an experience. I hope you guys can hear me. Ted Berkey says, where's the clink? The problem I've got with the clink is I don't have access to glasses at the Fairfield Inn that I'm staying at. And I also don't think I'm going to have the ability to holler out a computer all day. If any of you here in Phoenix, you understand a couple things. Number one, nothing centrally located, especially if you weren't able to get one of the really, really good hotels that are in that Purdue block. Many of you were there. I got to see some of you guys last night, Christina and Ben specifically. Great talking to you guys. Really good to see the Purdue vibe out there, even late on a Sunday evening. It's incredible, incredible situation, incredibly blessed to feel, to be here in Phoenix. You guys know that this was, I don't want to say thrown together, but put together somewhat last minute for me, and getting everything together logistically, from bringing a work computer, a second computer, microphones, cameras, all that stuff, a tough thing. And if you know anybody looking for a Purdue show host, maybe then I could have a producer to help me do it. But until then, we're on the BS budget, and this is what it is. So I apologize for no clink. I know that's kind of the way we kick this off, and I've talked to many of you, and obviously swishing around a water bottle does not have the same feel. I don't do this usually, but Okabu 13 says, you're glowing. Damn right I'm glowing. And I don't know if you mean because it's so bright where I am, or the emotional part of me is really excited to be here. And I absolutely am. So got in late in the afternoon, early evening here in Phoenix yesterday. Was not able to bring LBD because of school and things like that, and the way this schedule worked out has some pitfalls, but I'm here, and I've already seen some stuff around, some signage around the city that shows Purdue, and that the one thing that gets me over and over is that the sign that says the road ends here. It's something that I'd seen before, obviously, in Indianapolis when the Final Four was there, but never with my Boilers involved. And so this is it's a pretty special experience so far, and I haven't even gotten to experience anything yet. What I wanted to do today, what I wanted to talk about, is I wanted to talk about the matchup and what we have to look forward to as Purdue fans, and maybe create some balance in the universe when you look at how many people in the national media are trying to tell a story that this is UConn's game, full stop. It's not true, but what you can say is that UConn is the most talented team Purdue is going to play this year. Obviously, it's over now. They're the most talented team Purdue has played this year. This is the I don't know if they're the best coach, but they are. I'd say they're the best coach, especially in this context. Hurley is an incredibly good tournament coach. The way they beat teams in the tournament is noteworthy. Obviously, you look at their record spanning back to last year, the way that UConn just lambastes teams, just blows them out of the water, is like nothing I've ever seen. I don't think there is, and maybe some of you guys out there who can dig deep into old scores and old tournament runs, I cannot find anything close to this, the way they've played the last 2 years in the tournament. So they're dialed in. They clearly get better during the year. They're extremely talented. Like I said, I think they have four NBA talents on their starting lineup. We're going to talk about maybe what's going to happen and what are the keys to the game. How can Purdue keep it close enough that in the end you can put the ball in Edie's hands when things are getting dicey and we're getting close. But what's the key matchup, that sort of thing, and maybe get you ready for some things you don't know and you haven't looked up. I had LBD do me a solid and run through his thoughts on the game, and I'll give you a quick one here, what he said about that. This is a really good synopsis and it's really fast. So this is the first thing, and then we'll dig in a little deeper. So you've got at UConn, you've got the best point guard in the nation in Newton. You've got a great defensive shooting guard in Castle. You've got a slashing three-point shooting wing in Spencer that we're all familiar with because of his time at Rutgers. You've got a long shooting forward who can shoot in Caravan, and you've got one of the top two centers in the nation in Klingon. It's a tall order, like we said. So where are the differences here between Purdue and UConn? Well, the real difference, the real, to me, the real matchup to watch, and this is where I'm gonna stake my put my post in the ground here. There are two things that Purdue needs to do to win. Number one, you have to have TKR and Gillis play Caravan as well as anybody they've played all season defensively. That's a big one. And the next thing, and this is some co-analyst work with my friend Chris, who I'm traveling with, is TKR's got to put some points on the board. And I don't think it can be just like a couple in the beginning of the game. Not unless Gillis comes in and starts bombing threes. That also would kind of neutralize that matchup. That's a big one. The next thing, if you look at a really, really important matchup, is UConn versus foul trouble. Because this has been something Purdue has hung their hat on all season, especially when they've played good teams. They've been able to get those bigs into foul trouble. Specifically, Edie's been able to get their big into foul trouble. Well, Klingon's really good. He's really talented. Klingon also has a minor injury right now, if you've been paying attention. He'll have ice on his hand after a game, and he injured it a couple, they said a couple weeks ago. He was elbowed in the hand, which is it's a weird basketball injury. That's a story, though. That's a story. I don't know if it's a big story because he's played with the injury the last couple games, but it is a story. In the backcourt, this is where it starts getting really interesting. Jones is going to have to do a really, really good job laterally around Newton, keeping him away from driving. That's Newton's bread and butter, getting to the hoop. That's a big deal. I like that matchup. I think Jones can play him straight up. I don't know if he can match him points wise. It would be a pretty special day for Jones to do that. Castle went off last game because Alabama kind of picked their poison and said, okay, we're not going to guard everybody. And they chose not to get up in Castle's business. And then, of course, Spencer, what he likes to do with teams is he likes to hit threes. I think he's the best shooter on the team. He's like 44.5% 3-point shooter, so really, really good, similar to Fletch Loyer. But he has a couple differences. One, he's a little bigger and stronger. Fletch, I think we said 6'4", 175, 180. Spencer is 6'6", and I think over 200 pounds, I believe. If not, he's high 190s. But what he likes to do is get guys off their feet. So if they try to over-pursue the three-pointer, he goes in there and he'll throw up a runner, and he's really good at it. Another difference between Purdue and UConn is Purdue might be a little bit deeper. When Purdue brings in guys off the bench, at least Gillis, sometimes Heidi, Purdue can bring points off the bench. UConn doesn't tend to do that. Diarra is their next guy off the bench. He's a good player, really good defensive player, but not much of an offensive threat. So that's an interesting note. I don't know if you've watched a ton of UConn this year. I know on Twitter, there have been some people kind of talking a little bit about what they see, if they've seen both UConn and Purdue and how they compare. I just think that, like I said, this is a great team. And the thing that's so wild about this game, the thing that's absolutely crazy about this, is that you have the two best teams in America playing in the national title. The two best teams in America are playing in the national title. And one of them is your favorite team, your alma mater, maybe, the team your dad rooted for, the team you grew up around, for the Purdue Boilermakers, and that's pretty damn special. It's really dry out here in Phoenix. I haven't been here very long. I've been here for 14 hours, 13 and a half hours, and I'm already like my throat and my sinuses are incredibly dry. But it is beautiful. If you've heard people talk about it, it's extremely beautiful. Outside my window, I've got palm trees and some red rocks popping through. I don't know if I can. I'll just show it to you. Let's see if this works. I really know what I'm looking at. It's like an office park. I can't see what I. So I'm on such a delay. Oh, there, good. You can see it. Sorry, I'm such a delay. That's what I was talking about with the buffering and the ice clinking. Why I have it is because there is a buffer. But it's beautiful here. I'm excited about getting out and getting into things a little bit. Supposedly there is a if you're in Phoenix, there's a couple different options that are just kind of get together type fan things. Someone asked if there was going to be a chance to meet Boiled Sports because people didn't know if who was going, and I'm the only one that ended up coming out here due to logistics. Jay and Anish both had tough things they couldn't get around. I don't. Michael tried to, and I don't know if Dave even looked into it. But for me, this is one of those things. It was like a, I compared it to a siren song because it was something I was like, I was just being wooed out here, and I had to get here. And much to my wife's chagrin, she's not the happiest person in the world that I came out here. I've been happily married for 25 years this May, and she's a trooper, and she's dealt with me and my big personality and my my shortcomings. And she allowed me to come out here, but I apologize to her. But it's something I had to get out for. So, yeah, it's great to be here though, and the good stuff hasn't even started yet. On your side, I hope if you're not here, I hope you're soaking it up because this is stuff that we don't know when it's going to happen again. Like I said, I feel it's going to happen again. I think that you're going to have Purdue and Matt Painter do this again in 2026. That's my hot take. I think we're in an incredible era. Anish said this a little bit ago. He said this months ago or a year ago or something like that. And he said, "Well, the good old days are now, right?" Something along those lines, where when you're in the thick of a season that's beautiful and wonderful and things are great, sometimes you don't realize it. I think most Purdue fans realize how great this is and how great this has been. And I don't think there's any reason to believe that this era ends anytime soon, but this is obviously a very, very special chapter. One note that I've heard John Fanta talking about, and I haven't even gotten to your thoughts yet, and I apologize, a lot of ranting right now. But one note is that he kind of has already crowned UConn his national title guy, and he's paid by the Big East. I don't know where he went to school, probably UConn. Some place out east. It really doesn't matter. He works for CBS. We actually were in the same brewery, bar, whatever, restaurant as the Field of 68 guys. We missed them by about an hour last night at the Hess Brewery. Hus Brewery. I don't know. I think it's Hus. Hus Brewery. That's it. And it's in downtown, center of downtown Phoenix. It's really close to where Purdue's hotel is. I mean, just tons of Purdue fans there. It was great. But one thing he just kind of goes on these rants with lofty talk, and one of the things he says is this is the 36-3 UConn Huskies. Like there is nobody close, and Purdue is 34-4. And one of those losses, I think every Purdue fan in the world, that Wisconsin loss, except for maybe one who's a Boiled Sports listener and watcher, but most of us said it's all right. That game was okay to drop. Let's get healthy and let's get right, especially in the context of watching Edey and Smith both be injured in the previous two games. This was not a bad loss. It was not a bad time to take your foot off the gas, take a deep breath, get everybody healthy as long as you can, have as long of a week of rest and relaxation as they could. And obviously, it paid off. So we're six games later, and Purdue is 5-0 in those previous five games. That's pretty special. All right, I'm going to talk to you guys. Those of you who are live, thanks for being here. The diehards are here, it looks like to me. I'm missing a couple of you guys. Wish you were tuned in, but let's focus on the positives. Dick Stillwagon says, "Hello, Glendale." I'm actually in Phoenix, but Glendale is not far away. It is beautiful, and I'm excited about the day. I don't. Here's the thing. Like I'll reiterate this. I just don't know what I've got in front of me, meaning like there have been people asking me, "Hey, am I going to be able to see you?" I've been direct messages saying, "Can we connect?" I don't know. I just don't know the answer. My pal Ryan Booker's here. He just texted me, so he usually doesn't sound off live in the margin, but he did just text me. And Ryan, welcome. Glad you're here. Ryan's a diehard, and I wish he were here as well, but he wasn't able to get out here. There's some. I got to tell you, I'm a little shocked. Guys like Ryan and Jay and Anish aren't here because these guys have been, they have found ways to get to games that are a lot harder to get to than this, in my opinion, because I found a way. I'm not a man of great innovation when it comes to travel, I don't think. I'm a man of great innovation in other parts, but I wish you guys were here. That's really me being selfish. Wish you guys were here with me. Ted Berkey says, "Where's the clink?" Yep, no clink today, but it's a promise. The clink will return when we get back Indiana side. I don't think I'll be able to scare up a rocks glass or rocks. I'll find a way to find bourbon. I've already got a plan. If Purdue can win, I've got an idea of where I would post up. I'm not gonna get into names all that, but I've got a place that I maybe have a cigar, maybe have a bourbon, and talk to you guys. But I can promise you, it will be very, very late in that case. In Indiana, it's gonna be extremely late in that scenario. Very, very late. Here, it will still be pretty late. The good news for me is I'm not traveling till Wednesday home. The bad news is it'll be this to be a late night regardless. But if your Boilermakers win, holy moly, this is gonna be a fun night. It's gonna be great to be around Purdue fans. It's gonna be great to be around Purdue fans anyway. John Harrell says, "You look better in Arizona." Thank you, John. That's tough though, because I think I look generally good in Indiana too. That's a big joke. Need to be inverse says, "My man Dowd in championship country." Right on. Brent Williams, boiler up. Joe Inslee, it's 7:49 in Phoenix. Yeah, 7:49 in Phoenix. Oh, it is. You're right. You're right. I looked at my. Yeah, that's a good point. My intro was Indiana time because my computer hadn't updated, which I thought it would have done that. Yes. It's actually 8:05 a.m. right now in Phoenix. So that's a really good point, and I just breezed right through it. Thanks, Joe. I thought I had a pretty good couple of minutes there, but no, far from flawless as usual. So it's Monday, April 8th at 8:05 a.m. here in Phoenix. Gosh, and I don't go back and edit these. I wish I had that time right. So I apologize to all of you, and thank you, Joe. Dick Stillwagon says, "So happy for you." Oka Bew 13, he said, "I'm glowing." Acoldi says, "At work, most neutrals rooting for Purdue." Yeah, there's a lot of good vibes for Purdue. That's a good thing, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, you know, if you don't want to root for Purdue, that's okay. That's not the end of the world. Our bandwagon remains strong, and it's not a bandwagon; it's just a train. We don't work that way. Never have at Purdue. It's gonna be an interesting thing to see what this tournament run does to young kids. Like, how did this exposure for Purdue being a national story and there are a lot of kids in Indianapolis that have, you know, maybe they're sports fans, but they don't have a true allegiance, or their parents went to Ball State or whatever. What's this do? Do we see more Purdue sweatshirts? Do we see an uptick in Purdue? Truly, we've said it for years. All of the Purdue faithful have said it for years. Purdue's Indiana's team. I say Purdue's America's team. Right? Who likes Dan Hurley? Nobody outside of UConn. Good coach, but jackass. Yeah, so what happens? What is the fallout of a run like this and then subsequent good seasons? Tell you what, the Purdue brand is strong right now, and that's awesome. That's great. James H2 says, "Boiler up." Chris R says, "Boiler up. Speaking of Arizona, check out the previews for the game against then number one Arizona this past December. Eerily similar commentary from the national talking heads. Let's go, Boilers." Yes, and so I remember these previews because these are ones that hit me in the brain and in the heart, however you want to say. They pissed me off and got me wound up. The big talk before Arizona was Purdue wouldn't be able to keep up their pace. Well, that's a little different because UConn doesn't generally play with a high pace. What they do is they stifle you on defense, not passing lanes, but they just make things really difficult for you, and then they run their offense really, really, really well. Their guard play, though, UConn's guard play is great. The difference, I would say, if I'm going to compare those two teams and why I know what the pundits were saying. They were saying Purdue couldn't match up to Arizona. So I agree, Chris. That's a good analogy. But the big difference here, the big difference is Klingon, because Balo from Arizona, he's a good center. I mean, he's a top 10 legit center in America. I believe that because he's so strong. And he's good at getting position. But we knew Edie could beat Balo. And I think we know that Edie can beat Klingon. The big The big thing, though, is Klingon is one of the top two centers in America. That's quite a difference. Their guard play, Arizona's guard play is very, very good, and we all thought, okay, Fletch is going to have a hard time. Big game Fletch came to that one, right? So if big game Fletch comes, I would be worried if I were UConn, and I think we'll know early how that's going to go. David Dillman says, I note a new backdrop. Really excited you made it, Dowd. Thank you. Yeah, this is not the normal studio. This is not my office at home. This is my office at Fairfield Inn in Phoenix, Arizona. Acoldi says, betting Purdue because of media and UConn fans. Betting Purdue because of media and UConn fans. I don't understand that, but I'm sure other people do. Jim Ron says, glad you made it. We need loud boilers in the house. Jim, I will be loud. Here's the thing about this. When you look at the tickets, even really expensive tickets are a long way from the playing surface, the hardwood. It is such a big place. And if you look at the breakdown, the map of the State Farm Stadium, it's wild how big this place is. So I haven't been in there for practice yet. I plan on being there, of course, for the game. But here's another thing. I don't have tickets yet. So this is I could get them right now on Ticketmaster. They are available. They're readily available. They're plentiful, actually, because it's such a big place. But I can't get my travel partner to jump on board yet. He says, let's just wait a few hours. So I think he's trying to play a little bit of the odds that the values will dip. But I think you can get in 400 level right now for like $125 to $150 plus fees, of course, those wonderful fees. So yeah, I'll be loud. I'm thinking that I will sit in my seat for a bit and then mull around a little bit, try to find if there's a like a standing place, a standing room where you can kind of see some sight lines. But I don't know if this stadium's built like that, like Lucas Oil back in Indianapolis. Yeah, Joe Inslee says Purdue is the best team UConn will play this year. And yes, you are correct, Joe. That's really good perspective. I've talked up UConn a lot, just like other people have. This is a really good point. This is the number one and two team in America. Houston also had an argument, right? But the way Houston played was different. I don't want to, there's nothing gimmicky about playing good defense, but their team was totally based, their success was totally based on defensive success. And especially as injuries started mounting, they were not up there in that talk. And that's lousy timing for a good Houston team to have the injuries hit them so hard there at the end. That sucks for Houston. But yeah, these are the best two teams according to human beings. These are the best two teams according to wins and losses. And these are the best two teams according to metrics. It's an incredible matchup because of that. And at the same time, many in the media think this is not a matchup at all. That to me is maybe the biggest shocker of everything. Chuck Hall says, boiler up. Jim Ron says, was at the Pacers game last night, played Hail Purdue and Sandstorm, LOL. The media lady said she wants Purdue to win. Lots of boilers there. It's awesome. It's good to hear that people are all in. Here's the thing. Regardless of the outcome tonight, you're going to still be all in if you're listening to this. And in fact, it probably stirred the coals of the internal fire you have for Purdue. It may have put you in a different position. Maybe like it may, if you're anything like me, it may have put some rest or contentment on you that you're like, okay, they've gotten to that next level. I can find a little bit of more peace when I'm watching games. I really believe this, but we'll see. That's going to be tested out next November, December. I think next no November, December, I think it's okay for me to talk about a little bit since we're hours from the final game. But I think it'll be different watching that team because we're going to be going into a year where Purdue's probably going to be ranked, I'm guessing, in the mid-high teens in the pre-con. A lot of people say they're overrated. But remember, they're returning three juniors next year, junior starters. And so it's going to be a completely different perspective. But what I'm trying to get at is the kind of the general peace you have over how you watch Purdue. Maybe that changes for me. Maybe I am not an absolute madman before games. Maybe I'll be able to eat meals before tip-off. So who knows? Who knows? We can dare to dream. Nemanja Chalison says, wild how much younger Paint is compared to Cal. Many more years left in the tank and many more Final Fours. Yeah, there's lots of talk. If you're not paying attention to social media and other places, there's lots of talk about what's going to happen on the coaching carousel with potential, and I don't think Cal has signed yet. It just sounded like it was a close to a done deal last time I checked before I went to bed last night. Incredible development to me is that Cal Perry to Arkansas. Incredible. Incredible for a lot of reasons. I don't know. They say logistically, if he decides to leave, they don't have to pay his $30 million buyout. That's a number, and it's an unusual business move, but I guess a guy that old with that much money doesn't think he needs it, and he probably doesn't feel welcome anymore in Kentucky based on the way the fans are talking. I've got a good friend who's a Kentucky alum, big fan. I don't know if he's watching today. Sometimes he watches because he's also a Purdue fan. One of the unusual combinations of fandom that I know, but I wonder what he thinks about all this that's happening, what's developing, and who their ideal replacement is. Some people on Twitter last night were talking about Painter as a replacement for Cal, and I think there's no way in hell. I just do not see that happening. Paint has done some very smart, quiet things to respect his alma mater in the way his contract is structured. He doesn't complain about it. He and Babinski work well together. As long as Babinski's there, which Babinski's getting older too. That's the other thing. There will be change there in the next couple of years. But Babinski has had a great relationship with Painter, and I think whoever comes in after Babinski will also be good with Painter. I think that's going to be absolutely essential. Typovich 1 says, incredible that UConn took a chance on a coach from Rhode Island. Hurley does not even have 200 total wins as a head coach. Yeah, it is incredible. And it's the octane of his wins, the way his teams have played, it's really noteworthy. He's very good. Hurley to Kentucky is another one that I think a lot of people would like to see. Kentucky has money. They have very, very deep pockets and coffers, and we'll see what happens. So Todd Singer says, enjoy today, B-Dowd. You've earned it. Thank you, Todd. Great meeting you during the run and at AJ's. I am planning on I owe Adam at AJ's a live stream. So I'm going to have one from AJ's. It may be Saturday, actually, after the spring game. It just depends on how everything's working on my side of things and how the weather is, honestly. I don't want to be, if it's cold and rainy, I'm miserable. And I don't want to sit out in the cold rain for spring game. Spring games are fun. This year, Purdue will be better because they have so many guys that are practicing. I think it's over 100 players, if I heard it right from Coach Walters. So they can actually run scrimmage type situations, which is great. I have not taken a minute to look at the football team. So I've like looked at some quick highlights, but my focus has been on basketball, probably like you. I don't know. I'm a simple-minded man. I'm going to focus here, and then I'm going to flip that switch soon. But I can't wait till spring game on Saturday. Dick Stillwagon says 388 days of anticipation. What am I looking at? 388 days of anticipation. Oh, that's from Purdue losing to the 16. So you guys, I feel like you speak in code, but it's good code. But the moron over here has to read it and then figure it out. So I'm guessing that's from the 16 beating Purdue to today, and that's a really really noteworthy number of days. So what a fun ride. Not really a fun ride. They had to gather the ashes and rise from the ashes first before they could get to Phoenix. And that's my whole thing, the poetry of them being in Phoenix. If they can complete this story, wow, incredible. Incredible. To be in the lowest of lows, 388 days from Purdue, official Purdue game video. Okay, there. So it's been released. I'm in a time warp because I'm in Phoenix and I haven't gotten used to it yet. So I got to watch the game day video. I'm sure it's going to be incredible. They have been so great. So excited to see that. You guys got the jump on me today. Let's see. Zachary Young says 40 minutes from history. No doubt. Adam P says good morning from Phoenix again. Adam, excellent. Adam Gopfrich says, if my algorithm holds up, one Cam Heidi alley-oop equals a Purdue win. It's that simple. That's it. You just break it down to the barest of parts, and you see things like that, and that's pretty good. Pretty simple. If Purdue can do that, that beautiful architecture marvel of a roof over the State Farm Stadium will be, at minimum, shaken. That'd be awesome. I think the Purdue numbers are going to be great today. John Roberts says, will Bob, Bobby Riddell still cover out of town basketball scores during halftime? I think that'll be hilarious if he did. I think he will. Not much to talk about. Ted Berkey says, "Hope you have a great day and bring home a win. I'll do my best." As Anish said after the Tennessee game, we worked really hard to get here. He and I specifically. So it was a hilarious bit. He kept going with it. It was very funny. Akoldi says, "Go at Cam Spencer often and early." Yeah, I know Cam Spencer wounded Purdue last year at Rutgers. I'm very aware of that, but I'm also aware that this guy, I think Purdue can counter him, and I think that I've given some keys. Maybe I've given too many keys because then they don't become keys; they just become things. But I think that's a really good one there. Q Turner says we made it. Bottom one, Edie will get 25 and 15, but Smith needs 15. Lawyer needs 15. Guard's got to have game of the year. Okay, so good point here. Bringing up Smith is good. And if you've read up, which I'm sure you have, PJ Thompson talking about Smith playing his worst game. The funny thing is, the last time Smith played a game like we just saw, he had the next two games, he had, I believe he had 50 total points in the next two games. So sadly, this is what Paint talks about, the end of the season being sudden. This is one of those things where you say, "Wow, you've only got one chance, Smith, to make this situation right." So that's kind of funny, interesting, noteworthy. We'll see what Smith can do. By the way, this YouTube software is excellent. It just went blank, and now I've got it. It scrolled me all the way down. I'm gonna try to speed up a little bit because we're already at 31 minutes, and I thought this would be a legit quick cast. I know you guys laugh at me and make fun of me, and that hurts my feelings because the name is not a true quick cast, but the reason it's not a quick cast, if you haven't noticed, it's you and I and the way we all interact. And that's the magic of this whole thing. That's the best thing about coming here and getting together on these game days. We're up to well over 200 live streamers, which is cool. Started a little slow because of the weird timing. Like I said, I was wrong about the time, but it is now 8:21 here in Phoenix, and it is 11:21, so I really jumped the gun. I should have given you guys lunch hour if you're working today. And if you're working, what the heck? What are you doing? And how are you doing it? That's the other thing. My pal Chris here, he just went downstairs in the hotel to get some work done, talk to his boss because he's a good employee. That's great. I did not do that. I called my boss before, or I sent him a Teams thing and said, "Hey, I'm in big trouble here. I'm not going to be able to get much work done in the next few days." And he mercifully said, "Enjoy yourself. Have a great time. Don't worry about it." So that was awesome. So anyway. Larry McLean says, "Will be a good game, but they haven't seen a team like us." I love that. That's the old way to look at it, like kind of like Bruce Lee, right? When you go into a room filled with people, you don't ask the question, "How am I going to deal with them?" You ask the question, "How are they going to deal with me?" So I love that, and I'm sure I'm butchering that, but the idea, the sentiment, that's the right way. It's the right way to be. And on one hand, I say it's weird. Purdue is the underdog, I think, for the first time this season. If not, it's like the second, which is incredible in itself. Many of you degenerate gamblers can tell me the story there if Purdue has been the underdog before. But I don't think if they have. Do you know that if they have, Chris? Has Purdue been an underdog this season that you know of? Okay, so he says no. Well, that's a really flattering view of me leaning back. I get to see myself on delay, which is one of the many advantages of streaming. So this is the first time they're underdog. They're wearing black. You've got Smith coming off of kind of licking his wounds. All the talk is that Purdue is outmatched and outgunned here. And I'm like, okay, they're the underdogs. If you haven't seen this song, there's a Twitter song. I love it. To me, I put it on. It's a I put it on Twitter. That's why I said it's a Twitter song. I put it on Twitter. So Ryan Booker says when Arizona was number one in Indianapolis, Purdue was the underdog. I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Ryan. But regardless, Purdue should have a chip on their shoulder, and just like I can't remember who said Purdue should be the hunted now. Gonzaga's coach, Mark Few. So or Purdue should be the hunter, and they should have. In some ways, the humility of a team that's the underdog and the anger and the focus of a team that's the hunter. So We'll see what they look like. I hope there's no nerves. It's a big stage, but they've already gotten that out of them. I think they looked nervous last game, quite frankly, and they shook that off, but they didn't. Well, they did shoot well, but they did not play their game, I'd say. So, but NC State has something to say with that. Ho hum. They were up by 18 with minutes left. Larry McLean says will be good game. Will be a good game, but they haven't seen a team like us. I just repeated. Mark Garrity says was in Vegas for CES and it messed up my sinuses with the dry air. Yeah, I'm trying to fight that hard, trying to drink a lot of water. I'm not keeping up. I'm falling behind. Thank you for the reminder. I'm going to drink the water. JL says enjoy the day, BD. We'll do it. Sorry about the gulping. Ancient Astronaut, hammer down. Acoldi says UConn fans are too smug. Every other fan base has thought they will shut us down. Yeah, so well, you could ask Derek Schultz, our buddy from Connecticut, what he would say about UConn fans. I would bet that there's a lot of things that come with smugness, a lot of reasons for that smugness. I'm not going to be digging it too hard. I've lived in the Northeast, but you also have ESPN fueling the smugness from UConn, and I think that's a bigger factor than you guys all realize, maybe. Maybe we just take that for granted. But yeah, they are smug, and they are being that effort is being fueled. That mentality is being fueled. Dick Stillwagon says Mrs. Dowd deserves something fancy. Choose wisely. It's a good point. It's a good point. She's not a fancy girl. I mean, you don't know her, but she's not a fancy girl. But maybe this time, maybe get her something fancy. That's a good idea. Need to be inverse says my wife is ready for the end of basketball season. I'm not. I guarantee you, my wife is ready for that. And talked to somebody yesterday that said, you know, we get in this mentality, especially if you are in a marriage where your wife understands sports, likes sports, but is not all in like you are. When you keep saying this is a really big game, but you keep saying it on repeat, that's a tough order for your spouse, loved one, whoever is on the other side to deal with. But these are all big games, and this postseason run has been filled with distraction and poor focus by me because I just can't get anything done during the day. So I'm kind of glad I'm separated from work stuff, at least for the day, so we can actually get some fun pre-gaming in. Let's see. Sarah says, finally catching alive. My brother recommended you guys, and I've been listening so much in the past few weeks. Thanks, Sarah. And thank you to your brother. I don't know who that is. You could, if he's got a screen name, that might help. But here's the interesting thing. So I meet some people and I get their names. It's awesome. And then when they tell me their screen name, it's like, boom, right away. I know this person. I've known him for years. So it's kind of weird. Like Ben Carnahan yesterday, I had never met Ben in reality in 3D. Finally got to meet him, though, as a person, not just a digital entity. And Ben and I think we had interacted for close to 10 years. Ben could probably correct me on that, but it's weird. You feel like you get to know people. And there's some of you guys like Dick Stillwagon here that feel like I know. 3.752 smarter than I, but I definitely defiantly an East Coast homer. Gosh, what am I? I'm sorry, guys. I get dropped in there. I need someone in my ear to tell me what I'm missing. But I miss that one. The Crimson Permanent Assurance says, the Crimson Permanent Assurance is in Phoenix. So like speaking in third person, announcing your presence is pretty, that's a pretty Mac move right there. Let us know where you're pre-gaming today. Well, we're looking at, what's that, sorry, I'm not going to do that again. What's that pep rally called, Chris? Okay. There's a pep rally that we're, and it's a, like all good pep rallies, you have to pay your way in, which is great. But yeah, that's what we're looking at doing as of right now. Nita Beamverse says the society, or pardon me, goodness gracious, the Soviet hockey team was deemed unbeatable prior to 1980 Olympics at Lake Placid. Well, yeah, I understand. I'm not putting UConn in the Soviet hockey team, the miracle gold medal place. I think this is well overblown. And the reason I say that is just let's look at Creighton. Creighton not only beat UConn, they beat them handily, and it wasn't forever ago. People have such short memories. They don't They, it's a weird thing to me. Some memories in pop culture last a long time, and some go away so quickly. And all people, all pundits are just talking about the UConn tournament run. Still the same team, and they're great. But at the same team, they are beatable. John Dortch says, "Boiler up, bring it home." Yeah, brother. Hope you're doing well. Shoopafly, who I saw last night, says, "Purdue block party at Carousel Arcade Bar by the State Farm Arena." There's your answer. If you want to meet Boiler Dowd, and I'm going to speak in third person like the Crimson Permanent Assurance. Let's see, I'll say it the same way. The Boiler Dowd is in Phoenix. The Boiler Dowd is going to be at the block party at Carousel Arcade. That sounds absurd. I like saying the Boiler Dowd, though. That's fun. That's weird. That's really arrogant. But thank you, Shoopafly, for that. Nemanja Charleston said, "Did anyone watch the Sleepers guys with Hummel doing the couch watch NC State game?" I did not. I saw parts of it. It looked like they were having fun. Those guys really, I think you can say it, they admire what Hummel's done and what he is, which is pretty cool. So I watched part of it. They look like having a good time. Hummel looked like he was a good time, having a good time. And Sleepers guys are interesting because they're a little clickbaity at times. I really like their work ethic. If I like anything, I love the fact that they keep producing content like just constantly in there. And sometimes I disagree with it, but you're not going to bat a thousand when you put that much out there. And I know Purdue fans have been hard on them, but I think we should take that a little bit with a grain of salt. So, and I stopped watching them for a time because they pissed me off pretty good. So I can't completely separate myself from everybody who got mad at them. Joe Ensley says, "Hope my hope is that this is just the beginning of something bigger." I think it is. Purdue and Paint remind me of Duke and K in '91. I really agree with this comparison. I really agree with this comparison. I'll tell you why in a second. UConn feels a little like UNLV. Man, this is really nice analogy. You hearing this, Chris? It's a really good analogy. I'll talk to you about Saint. Could Purdue be the next Duke? So a funny connection I've got to that UNLV in '91. This is so you guys don't know the guy on the other side of the wall here. My buddy Chris and I, we've been friends our whole life, and that week that UNLV and Duke were in the Final Four in Indianapolis, we went to Tennessee for spring break. Am I right about that, Chris? I think my timeline's correct. And so I went down there though the night before. I was helping coach my brother's baseball team, and I at that point I had glasses. I wore rec specs, and I ran into a kid that was shorter than me because he was younger. Nobody's shorter than me; it's my age. And it rammed my rec specs, which are supposed to be for safety, into my forehead. And I ended up getting 23 stitches on my eye. So I went down to watch UNLV practice because everybody wanted to see UNLV practice because they were like the greatest show above the rim. And I had my eye was swollen shut, and the white part of my eye was red because of this injury that I had taken, this blunt trauma that I had taken. So, but that's my memory of that. I think this is a great analogy, though, the Duke part. Because there are little things that point at Purdue being a little bit like this. And obviously, I'd love for some of that to come true and Purdue to become an absolute recurring mother in the tournament and on the national stage. But one of them is the hatred and the vitriol towards Purdue. Duke really didn't get that for years, if my memory's serving correctly. And when they got it, it was because of guys like Christian Laettner or Bobby Hurley. Certain guards, you just love to hate these guys. I think Fletch Lawyer has a little bit of that, and I've read some opposing fan bases talk about it. I think I told you guys, some people say Fletch Lawyer has a punchable face. I mean, I don't think he has a punchable face, but I do understand why he makes people mad. And I can tell you that guy has big game blood through him, flowing through his veins. And so you need guys like that. You need killers on a team. You need guys that just are absolutely confident in what they do. And Painter's talked about that recently, about having guys that are really, really confident and really have a history of winning. He's built a heck of a roster, and let's see what this next group of six coming in do next year. So, who's Johnny says, we just can't miss three pointers and let UConn run transition. Now, that's when they catch fire. Good point. Nolan Hostetler says, great moments are born from great opportunity. There is huge opportunity here. I always say that. I think that's a great phrase. I think it's a great way to look at it. And the other thing is high expectations. Let's see. The only thing that Ryan Booger said something like this. The only thing that you feel satisfied is when you reach expectations, and there's a lot of truth to that. So Purdue's reached their expectation this year, And now, again, like we said, they are the underdog. This is a good place to be in. Who's Johnny says we need an epic lawyer shooting barrage. He hasn't had a 27-point scoring game since Arizona. Yep, big game Fletch needs to show up. That'd be great. Like I said, we'll know early. Daniel Nelson says, I hope we have low turnovers. That's probably the key. 40% three-point shooting. These are good. I like these. However, would you prefer high turnovers, high three-point percentage like the NC State game, or low turnovers and low three-point shooting percentage like Tennessee? Well, it kind of depends on how well Purdue defends UConn's three-point shooting, and specifically Spencer's three-point shooting, I think. It's a good question, though. I'd really like to see the game really free-flowing and fast, to tell you the truth, like the Arizona game. I think if Purdue can get comfortable in that sort of rhythm, I think it's, I mean, if you look back at the pregame of that one, the Purdue, the Boiler Ball video, Painter said, let's run on this team, let's go fast here, and set the tone, which is really interesting. Everybody thought Arizona would blow Purdue out by running them out of the gym, and that wasn't the case at all. Adam P. says, I know you're not a betting guy, but what do you make of the seven-point line? What do they think Purdue lacks against UConn? Do they not think we've played good guards, Zona, Bama, et cetera? No, I think it's all based on UConn's tournament success, in my opinion. I think the, number one, Vegas is incredibly accurate. I think that seven-point line, to me, it's a little high, but you know this too, depending upon who's put money down, you know, that line fluctuates a little bit, so... but Vegas knows, and Vegas gets its money. So I don't want to get too far into that because I'm not going to try to pretend I understand anything. But I think the reason that line is that big is because the way UConn's been playing. RT Huxley says, I'm 36, would love to be at Harry's or West Lafayette, but want to watch the game with my dad while he's still alive. This decision you're making here, and you're not the only one. My buddy Ryan, he had to make a decision. To watch it with his family, watch it with one of his friends who he always watches with. I get that. I understand. And you're at a crossroads. I had my fallback plan with Adam. I think I told you guys, you know, I canceled with Adam publicly. And then I did it again via text. But I was ready to be in West Lafayette for this because I wanted to be around the energy, right? And when you watch that party atmosphere on campus, you're like, this is what it's all about. It's for the students. The funny thing about students is their memory is short. You know, we had Ryan on here the other day asking where he should watch the game, which was awesome, but their memory is short. Old guys like me or older guys like me remember a little bit more, and then guys like my dad, guys like your dad, RT, they know even more if your dad is a Purdue guy. And so you need that wisdom around to give some context to this victory. A Purdue student right now who just came on campus in the last year or two, this is very possible, who is not a Purdue fan, thinks, darn it, this is fun. And that's it, right? This is fun. Can you believe it? Purdue's national champ. And I think the older Purdue fan, like myself, like my buddy Chris over here, says, like, I remember the heartache of year after year after year and the context of being in the arena and Purdue not breaking through and not getting through. And it's a different sort of feel that we all have of getting there. I love the energy of youth. I love it. I think that's what it's all about for a college team especially. I hope we don't get far away from that with this ugly quasi-college basketball era that I think we're entering. And I think it's great that Purdue has the ability to be, like Jake talked, one of the last non-mercenary-laden Final Four teams, period. And that's a crazy, crazy thought. Can Matt Painter continue this idea on next year? When he has just a ton of youth and he's playing guys again that have 23, 24-year-old players that have transferred three or four times. Who knows? But when you're a young kid and you're playing against a man, everybody's done it. They played against their uncle in basketball and you're like, that guy can body me. I can't do anything about it. Well, you got to start getting creative. And I do think Painter is creative. So that was a long rant. Sorry. Let's see. Charles Muller says, great to know that you're in Phoenix. You deserve to see a win. I appreciate that. I don't deserve anything. I'm blessed to have what I've got. But I'm happy to be here, extremely happy to be here. Who's Johnny says, I think if Fletch struggles early, we need to bring in Heidi. I think Painter is going to give Fletch a lot of room because I think he has an immense amount of trust in Fletch. I talked to my son about this because he thought that Heidi is just a better matchup defensively. than Fletch is for some of UConn's bigger, stronger guards. But let's all pump our brakes a minute, because Fletch was supposed to not be able to do well versus Arizona again, and he played well on both sides of the ball. So I think we should take it with a grain of salt. I think Painter's smart enough to react, but Painter's also a very loyal guy. And as Joe Tiller used to say, you dance with the girl who brung you. So we'll see what happens here. See what happens. I hope he doesn't have a quick trigger finger, but I do think you'll see Heidi regardless, because we've seen Heidi, even in the games where Fletch has been playing really well down the stretch. Ben Carnahan says, maybe I missed it. Did you get tickets? What section? I don't have tickets yet. I don't have tickets yet. My guess is I'm going to be in section 5,000, 2.5 miles from center court. So that's my guess, fire bet, man. When I get there, Ben, thank you. This is your first comment. Good seeing you last night. I'll let you know some way. Maybe it'll be Twitter. I don't know. It's gonna be. I mean, regardless, if I get good tickets, Ben, if I get good tickets, I'm gonna be far away, because the tickets that I looked at, I was like, okay, well, let's pretend. Let's work our way out. Let's go to center court, and like row 30, the equivalent of row 30. I think they're in letters, and I found one center court, row triple A. Row triple A, and they were $1,400. And you are so far away from the action at that point. Because remember, you got the wider sidelines, the very slight angle in a football stadium. That's not ideal. Suboptimal. Accolti says he's locked in. Jack-O-Lantern22 says, how's the hotel gym? Oh man, I'm totally yoked, dude. I lifted twice last night and once this morning. It's great. They don't have enough iron for me. You know that, Jay. Danny Paddock says, morning, did you see the clip of John Fanna? I tagged you in. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I think I talked a little bit about that. If you're talking about the one where he pretty much said UConn was the two-time national champ already. I like Fanna again at times, but it's an East Coast bias. It's a Big East bias. He's bred in the East Coast, and now he's getting paid by it. So I don't blame him a whole bunch. Got to feed your constituents the fuel, but that was pretty hacky to me to go forward and say UConn's already won the Natty. So, Boiler Max says, when was the last time a Purdue team has played a tourney game with house money, i.e., surpassing expectations? Well, you've got to go back. Well, I would say the last time they surpassed expectations would be in Louisville, when they played Virginia, right? Because they played better than seed at that point, if I'm remembering correctly. I think that's true, because Purdue was a 4 seed and they got to the round of 8. So yeah, and yeah, I've had people ask me questions about what my scenario would be about different types of wins or different types of losses. Here's the deal: I'll take a very, very ugly win over absolutely anything. I'm not even gonna think about what type of loss I'm okay with, because I don't want to think about that. So I don't think it does us any good to talk about it. The Crimson Permanent Assurance says the sight lines in State Farm are terrible. Oh, that's good news. Even in the lower sections, not enough rise between the rows, so between the stands of the entire game, the seats down low, rows 1 through 10, are worse. Yeah, this is football or basketball in a football stadium, but it's especially that way because the gradual nature of the way the stands are put in that massive place, when they put the court in the dead center, there's no drape. They're looking to have that place close to full. It's not good. It's not good. There's no other way you can say it. I mean, it's neat that we'll all be there together, because everybody can get in pretty much if you're willing to pay a lot of money to just not see a game. But it's not good. The product's not good. I think it almost would be better to see, okay, get back to all basketball arenas, but they're not doing that. I think we talked about the other day, next year. I think it's next year there will be a regional in Indianapolis in Lucas Oil Stadium, which is a better arrangement. But this is more like Houston. Jay and I went to Houston, where boy, it's a big place. This is bigger than Houston, though. So, yeah, that's the knock on this concept of having them here. Well, Max says, glad to see you in Phoenix. Thanks, Max. Prakash P says, glad you were able to make it. Me too. I definitely got some NC State fans a little or a lot pissed off with my cheering. Excellent. There's a lot to do around the stadium, tailgating, Purdue bars. Yeah, excellent. So I'm told if you get to Glendale proper, it's pretty nice. The problem is, if you wait till 2 hours before the game, the traffic sucks. It's hard to get in there. So I think very soon we're going to be, well, not very soon. I looked at my Indiana time again, wish my computer would correct itself. Yeah, it's 8:43 here in Phoenix. Just 8:43 here. Let me be proper. I'm going to be like a niche here. It's 8:43 here in Phoenix, where Purdue will play in the NCAA National Championship in just a few hours. So Andy Buck says, glad you got to Phoenix. Thank you. Jack-O-Lantern says, oh, he's talking to Boiler Max. Nolan Hostetler says, does anyone else think Painter might have something in the bag coming out tonight? Well, this is an interesting idea. I made a joke to Chris. I said, wouldn't it be amazing if Painter threw this hellacious zone defense at UConn? He's been waiting 20-plus years to show the world an evil matchup zone, an amoeba zone like UNLV back in the day. But here's what I think will happen. I think Painter might add some wrinkles. I think Painter and his coaching staff is going to have, they're going to understand what they're getting into. You listen to his talk. He has been incredible, by the way, in these pressers. He was so good yesterday again. He talked about NIL and the NCAA, and he was so pointed talking about these teams have been pretty much, he didn't say these words, but he said this. These 10 teams have been paying players for a long time. They've been cheating for a long time, and now they got the NIL, so they even get more leverage with certain players and with the transfers. He has been great. He has been candid. He has been honest. If you're not a fan of Painter, I would highly suggest watch his pressers from the last 2 weeks, last 3 weeks. They have been spot on. Just big money. Kevin Pass says, let's go Boilers. Adam P says, for folks going, where are you all sitting? For those not, I'm from where are you coming from the game? For the game, to watch the game. From where are you watching the game? There you go. So where are you watching the game or where are you sitting? Yeah, sound off in here. Adam P says he's in 220, 220, 221, whatever it takes. Matt Garrity says, I'm hoping this does open the floodgates for Purdue and Final Fours to become a regular thing. We never know, so we got to savor now, but yeah, I think it will. Christopher Smith says, thanks for being there for all of us Boiler Down. There's a moving video titled Finally by Boiler's son. Hope all of you can watch it. What a memorable season. If you don't know this, Chris, I'm not going to tell you who this person is. That's a very close friend of mine who made that video. And I think I'm the person who broke it. If you look at the way things catch on, I think I am, just because he originally sent me an email with about, what, 10 of us? Is that right, Chris? 10 of us with the link. If you look at his other videos, he's made a lot of videos. None of them have gotten this sort of traction, where last time I checked, I think he had 42,000 views. But he struck a chord with this one because of the depth of the heartache. And I think Purdue fans that are old, this is one of those things that if you've got a friend who's a student who's a diehard, you should watch it with them. Like if your son or your nephew or whoever, or you're a little bit older and you just know a student there, watch that video with them. Explain to them what's going on, because there are so many games in there where we can all say, "I remember that moment." And that's why that video is so effective. That and that first song, which many people are surprised that that video has been able to stay up as long as it has. If you have not seen it, it's called Finally. The person who put it together is Boiler Space Sun, I think. If you look up Boiler Space S, it's the first name that pops up. Yeah, it's great. It's great. He did an awesome job. And yeah, I do know the video quite well. So I'm not going to brag any more than that, but I pretty much made that dude what he is today. Is that fair, Chris? Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, very fair. He's watching on delay, I bet, right now. He doesn't watch live generally, but he's watching it on delay, I bet, right now for him in his time. Kevin Pest says, T minus how many hours to tip? Here it's at 6:29, right? So you're looking at six, what, nine hours and change, I think. I think that's right. Maybe not. I can't do math. I can't even do math when I'm just concentrating on math. Is that right? What do you say? Nine? 9 hours and plus. Good. Look at me. Look at my liberal arts brain showing. Ben Cruz says, I'm a UConn fan, but I'm a college basketball fan. Best of luck tonight. It should be a fun game. Purdue's a very, very fun team. Edie is a stud. Ben, thank you. Hats off to you. Like we said, and it's been said a lot, I don't know how much you've been sticking around or if you're still here even, but these are the two best teams in college basketball. And I think we're in for a treat. I hope we're in for a treat that obviously favors my taste, personally. profile. Let's see. Boy, oh boy, this YouTube just screwed me again with this hopping around. But I'm going to start. Oh boy, I'm at an hour anyway. So let's go. Brian Ryle says, hard to work with the game today and the eclipse. Yeah, a lot going on. Yeah, a lot of rarities. Let's say that. Daniel Nelson says, just like the boys said last week on Basketball Beat, hope we see Beat out on TV. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. Number one, you're going to see me. I'll be a very tiny dot on your screen. Even in HD, it's going to be tough to recognize. Purdue fans are supposed to wear black today, by the way, if you haven't seen that. If you're in Phoenix, throw on a black shirt. Would bring a big smile to my face after listening for so many years. I think seeing me on TV, you have a better chance of seeing a second eclipse tomorrow. I don't think it's going to happen. It would take an absolute miracle for me to get down low and to get seen by the camera. So I'm not that type of guy during a game either. I really don't like doing that. It's not my way. I don't have a J Money coffer here where I can just go and, you know, plunk down to get the $1,400, $1,600, $2,000, $5,000 seat. J64D Willie says, yeah, Arizona was ranked first. Okay, so yeah, I know they're ranked first. I just don't know. I know they're ranked first. And Acoldi says Arizona was the favorite in Indy. Okay, I'll take your word for it. I think that's the only game I could think of where, oh, Kevin Pass says, I think we're dogs at Illinois. So this is the third game. They all feel very similar in that. And even one of the games in Maui, too, where you had a media swell going against Purdue. And then after the game, you had teams, broadcast teams talking about how impressive of a loss it was for those teams to lose the way they did to such a good Purdue team. Interesting. Jacqueline22 says Arizona was indeed a slight favorite, 1.5 points. Lots of fact-checking going on. This is great. Kevin Pass has a prediction, 76-73 Purdue. I'll take it. Dylan Kuhn says, I'm sturdy and I'm ready, and also you're huggable, Dylan. BTFU, glad you're ready. We got a long time to get there, so let's pace ourselves today, Dylan. Jack O'Lantern 22 says, good call on Illinois. They were 2.5 underdogs there on their senior night. Loved how that turned out. And I think that game, and I think I said it, that game was a big test of Purdue's mettle. Test of their makeup, where a normal Purdue team would have just said, eh, not tonight. But that one was a pride game. It was a pride game because of all the shit talk we had heard from Illinois and specific players coming into that. And Purdue wanted to make a statement that Purdue was still the best team in the conference, regardless of what the talk was in the media. Every time Purdue was about to play Illinois was coming off of a couple games where they looked great and they're exciting, their athleticism was awesome, and Purdue would just come in a business-like fashion and handle their business. Let's see if they can do it again tonight. See if they got one more in their tank. Jeff Nestor says, Purdue wins at the buzzer with a Jones 3, 75-73. I had a weird dream. I told Chris this. It was just a very quick dream. I was on the plane, and I actually spazzed out. Like, have you ever had that where you feel like something's falling in you? Flail, I did that, but this wasn't the exact time. I slept a little bit on the flight in. But the dream was a ball comes off the hoop, and Mason Gillis grabs the rebound and kind of protects it. And my daughter would love the play, but she'll be in bed because it's going to be too late in Indiana because she loves Mason Gillis. Can't figure out why still. But Mason Gillis brings down a rebound, and that wins it for Purdue as the clock hits 000. So I don't think we can predict any of this. I don't care how Purdue wins. If Purdue wins 1-0, I think I'll allow it. Jacob Foster says, call me crazy, but I love Purdue's chances tonight. Boiler up. Excellent. I'm going to go down, try to find some first-time commenters for today. Let's see. A lot of you guys repeating. It's awesome. Brazos Valley Boiler. Boiler up. Awesome. Nate Harden says, pumped for you that you made it to Phoenix. Me too. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Nate. Mike Buckley says, go Boilers. By the way, I've known Nate for a long time, so I'm glad he's here. Really glad that he's made this part of his pregame thing, postgame thing. It's great because I know a lot of people that I know pretty well that really don't ever watch these. And I'm never bothered or offended. I understand it because if you know me, you know I talk a lot. And so I'll fill the air with sound. In fact, Chris has to hear it all the time traveling. It's a pain. But if you get to see me on here, you get to hear more words, which is even better. Nate Arden again says, make sure you get some Some Four Peaks beer while you're out there. Okay, I'll look for it. Not a big hops guy, but I'll check it. Don't know what Four Peaks beer is. Maybe I can have some samplers here around. Let's see. I'm going to try to get to a couple more comments. Greg Mitchell says, "Woohoo, caught you live. My freshman year was 1980. Didn't think it'd be another 44 years to get the Final Four. Soak it up, Boilers. You're going to the game. Lose your damn voice. Bring on the eclipse." I love it. I love it. Good energy. Sam Lovejoy says, "Zach is going to be the best player on the court. There's no doubt about that." And that's wild. That's one thing that UConn hasn't had to deal with, where they haven't had the best player on the court. Ancient Astronaut said, "Have you slept yet?" I slept a little bit last night. It was a truncated, weird sleep. My mouth dryness woke me up twice, and this hotel is wired in a way that I had to come back and get my phone to wipe my, to light my way. To light my way to the bathroom to get a water bottle, this very water bottle filled. So it's dry out here. It's the desert. Matt Wilson says, "I have a lot of money on UConn as an emotional hedge. I'm trying to convince myself I can buy a boiler win tonight." Okay, so this is a funny psychological thing. I don't think you're alone in this. Like I said, I don't bet. I understand why people do it, and I hate it. I don't even know. I can't empathize. I think that would be so hard. I'd be so miserable, because either way I lose or either way I win, depending on if your glass is half empty or half full person. Yeah, that's tough for me. Nate Hartnigan says, "I was at all three games in the 2017 Final Four in Phoenix. We had NFL lower bowl tickets. Seemed like great seats at the time. In reality, it felt like we were about a half mile from the court." So we've got a lot of reviews telling us this is going to be the sight lines. The size of it is going to be something. Alex Chatton says, "Three seed in 2019. Okay, not four. So they still got the house money playing the one seed in the round of eight, right? I mean, same situation, right? I guess they played to seed and lost to a team that was better. It was a higher seed. So, because I think Tennessee the four? I think they were. Robert Pritchett says, "Boiler up, hammer down, hearts of champions, Lions, Tigers." I love it. Time to get it. Tim Soteros, I think I got that right. "I was in the last row in section 124 for the semis. Found myself able to follow the game in real life and not watch on the Jumbotron." That's awesome. "I will be there today, section 105. Awesome, awesome. Let's go get the win. So I think Tim is countering my idea that center court triple A seat wouldn't be a great one. So that's good. I'm not going to be in that section. I'm not going to be able to be down that low. I am positive of that. Unless one of you just hands me a digital ticket. I don't know how that would work. That's the thing. This era is so bad for friends trying to help each other out and do favors. I mean, nobody could even if they wanted to, just grab me a ticket. You can't do it. And I miss the keepsake ticket with the hologram on it. I mean, how cool would it be to have one of those? Somebody had a good suggestion. There should be a kiosk. You can print it out for $10. I love that idea. But you'd already be in the arena, and then you could just frame it. I would love that. I would love that. But instead, you have to do some womp-jacked screen cap and then print out. That's not very good. Let's see. Greg McManus says, "How'd I miss the beginning of this? Going all the way until tip-off this evening." Going all the way until tip-off this evening. How did I miss the beginning of this? Greg, I don't know how you missed the beginning of this. That's the first thing. And usually you are on point. On point, Tip, all the time, Fife. But going all the way till tip-off this evening. Does that mean? I don't know what that means. Are we going to have another show before then? I don't know. I doubt I will. Because I'd have to haul my computer bag to that fair-like or circus atmosphere, whatever you want to call it. That's going to be a lot of fun. Excited about that. But I don't think I'm hauling anything. I'll be other than hauling ass. I will do that. Poverty Spec says, "Purdue versus the world." Yep, I wore that shirt all day. I got some mean mugs. Loved it. Loved it. Had some angry people at me for just me being adorable. That's really all that was. Jordan Kane says, "I'm 29 years old and a Purdue alum, and you said 30-year-old fans and above appreciate this more Saturday night. I feel slighted." We've endured enough. Tonight's the night. Okay, and I'm not diminishing your experience, Jordan. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not putting you in your place. Yes, and many of you have better memories than me, too. That's the thing. One thing I think about is the last time Purdue was in the Final Four, I was 5 years old. Okay? That's old enough to have memories, right? I remember being three. I remember there's one key thing I remember, one major storm. I was at my grandmother and grandfather's house, and I was under the table because I thought the house was going to collapse from the thunder. I ate Kentucky Fried Chicken under the table. But I remember that very well at three. I do not remember anything about Purdue going to the Final Four. I don't remember my dad leaving to go. I don't remember thinking, I'm going to watch this on TV. I didn't care. I was probably like, let's go get some Dukes of Hazzard on. I think that would be about right in that time frame. So yeah, but maybe you're, the other thing is, it depends on how much you remember. How much were you a fan early? My son was a fan early, like a real basketball fan. LBD, this is not a bit. He just loved sports. And Chris talks about that all the time, how lucky I was to have a kid that just chose that, because we didn't do much to get him there. Nothing that any other dad didn't do. And but he loved it. And so he may have longer memories than the average 18-year-old. But no, it's okay. Being 29, well, if you're 29, you remember a couple things that ripped our throats out, ripped our hearts out. Let's see, at 29, you would remember the Hummel years, and those are hard. And that's the thing. If you watch that video put out by Boiler Sun, all these references are in there. I would bet, though, Jordan, there's some on there that you're like, I don't know what that is, unless you went and did research. That's the point. And there's some on there that I really don't remember. Again, like I said, so the deeper we can go, the more we can lean on older people that remember things and ask them questions about what was that like. I think that's cool. I think it's great. All it does is bring the community together too. So that's my point. Let's do that. Let's come together as a community, learn from each other, and learn about the heartache and what it led to the good times. Brian T, I think I missed his comment, says, while on a cruise, I met a fellow Boiler, there we go, easy for me to say, from Fishers, Indiana. I've been there, and watched the game with him and several others on the cruise ship bar. That's cool. New family. That's awesome. That's a neat memory. I hope you got to see it on a decent sized screen. That's the one thing I don't know about. Depending upon the bar on the cruise ship, how good the sports bar atmosphere was. So I hope it was good. That's an awesome story, though. That's great. In the middle of the, I'm guessing, Caribbean, you were finding Boiler family. That's very, very cool. Sarah says, yes, I miss ticket stubs too. I am on my A game right now. I have many of my favorite paint crew Rossade ticket stubs in a shadow box on my Purdue wall. I'm glad I was at school before the tickets went all digital. Yeah, I'm the same way. I've got a bunch of tickets on bulletin boards. They actually are just in my basement now, sadly. And then I've got a stack of saved tickets that I've never done anything with that are just sitting in a box. The really good ones, though, like the bigger ones, like I'd love to put something together. And this is one specifically. I would put this in its own frame. But I can't because I don't have a ticket. Wah, wah. Karen Gerlach says, please bring us a win, Boiler Dowd. Have fun. Thank you, Karen. Thank you for the interaction, too. It's been fun, Karen. Been a fun season. Chris Beeler says, Purdue social media said, wear black if you're going to the game, black at Arizona. Yep, talked about that. Lindy Lynch says, Lindy Lynch, great name. I was a senior at Purdue in 80. I wasn't able to get to the Final Four game, but I was at Indy with the fans walking around Market Square Arena, waiting for this moment since then. Boiler up. So that's really cool. And this is part of my whole thinking is just getting here and being around people. That was my thought. Today it's going to get really good for all of us here if we get to that carnival atmosphere near the stadium. I cannot wait for that. So, but I love that idea of milling around with Purdue fans in 1980. That's great. That's very, very cool. Very cool. Thanks for sounding off. Okabu13 says, I went to the 1980 games, tells you I'm really old. Well, you're the people we need to lean on. I'll just reiterate that. You're the people that we need to hear the stories. We need to hear what the vibe was. If you're on Twitter, tell that story. Put a picture on there, seriously. Lindy, put a picture on there if you got one. Like it'll be grainy, it'll be horrible, and that's part of the beauty of that picture, right? Back then you got 24 shots, in your point and shoot. You probably weren't carrying around a 35 millimeter, so it's not going to be the highest quality. But if you had a picture and you say, hey, that's me there back in my 20s, man, that's fun. Yeah, that's really fun. Thanks for walking down memory lane with me. And Acoldi says, I was young in the baby Boiler years. I remember the heartache of Hummel tearing his ACL. I think I got sad when he went down. I'm blocked here. when he went down first time, big heartbreak, and then the Colts losing to the Saints. I remember LBD was tiny when the Colts went to their Super Bowls. He was a little guy. So I think for me, there's no comparison to Purdue in pro sports. Like, it was awesome. If you go on the Wayback Machine, I actually wrote about the Colts winning a world championship on Boiled Sports back when I typed with a keyboard. And I talked about how neat of a feeling it was to be a fan of an actual champion, because I'd never been one. I'd never been around that. And so this is next level stuff for me, because this is like you guys have said, you've hinted here, this isn't just being a fan. This is being a family of a potential champion. So way off the charts for me, way surreal. Still not, I'm sure I'm going to have moments today that just knock me out my socks, and I can't wait. Brian Wojcik says, win one for the Big Ten tonight from a cheesehead. Okay, Brian, I appreciate the sentiment, really do. And that's awesome that you're a Wisconsin fan. You're willing to put aside the, and I think there's a real rivalry with Wisconsin. I'm not a Big Ten guy. I don't cheer for anybody other than Purdue. And the older I get, so I hope I'm not offending anybody, but the older I get, the less of a fan of anybody else I become. It's just like, it's Purdue or nothing. My brother went to Butler. When Butler made their championship runs, when they went to the championship twice, I couldn't even root for Butler. I was happy for my brother. I was happy that my brother and sister-in-law were there. But I just can't do it. And so I wish I could in some way. But in the other part of me, I'm completely okay with it not happening. But I do appreciate people that are bigger men than I and that can do that. The one thing I will say is this Purdue team, whether you know what, there's a lot of hatred out there. This is a likable bunch of guys. And you may not know this, Brian. It seems like you're tuned in pretty good. But these are some likable personalities off the court. And that's one of the funnest things for us Purdue fans is it's an easy product to cheer for. Very easy product to cheer for. Marty Davenport says, feels like the Cubs World Series for me. Yep, you can see these parallels drawing in. MHC says, watching from the couch tonight with my wife and son. No one else allowed. All right, you're getting into my sweet spot here. Same as Sweet 16, Elite 8, and Final Four game. Can't handle a crowd unless in Phoenix, but couldn't make it happen. So, MHC, you and I are really on the same page. It's a very small group of people I can watch a game with. Truth be told, my patience were tested in the Final Four game. We opened it up a little bit. These are people that I love more than anybody else. And one of them might be watching this quick cast. But we watch games differently because I look at the big picture here. I get very excited. He doesn't understand why I watch it the way I do. I don't understand why he watches the way he does. So I'm with you. And that's why I kind of kept to myself. Some of the people, like I said, some of the people I love more than anybody, I just can't watch a game with them. So you've got to keep your group tight-knit if you're overly emotional like me. And I'm admitting this is a problem on my side, not on theirs. So I hope everybody understands that. But I do understand you. Greg Mitchell says, I think the list of really good teams that UConn and Purdue have beaten is interesting. Yeah, I think we can dig into a lot of things that have led up to this. I think both teams are battle-tested. That's one thing. Like I said, this is the way it's supposed to end, the way the season's supposed to end. Danny Paddock says, I'm the same way. Can't watch the game with anyone. I embarrass myself too much. I love this. I love this talk. Lets me know I'm not completely sick. Mark Garrity says, win or lose, no games after this, leave it all on the court. Yep. Must be a great feeling for the players to have gone through this battle, this war, and like this. One thing, think about the discipline it takes for Edie not to go and defend every shot to his maximum effort, right? It's all about, Painter has instilled the idea, don't get in foul trouble, right? And you know he can eat some of these guys alive. But instead, he says, I'm going to play the cylinder. I'm not going to go for the block. I'm going to play the idea that I'm going to change the shot, not necessarily block it. And then you hear idiots on Twitter saying, he can't even block shots. Why didn't he block more shots? Well, he doesn't block shots because he's being coached and trained not to. But that's a microcosm of what Purdue basketball has been through this season of just holding things back, making sure. One thing that's brilliant, one thing that's been not talked about enough is the fact that Purdue has had the same starting lineup from start to finish of the season. That is an incredible, incredible feat. Your boy Max G just made a very hurtful comment. I'm gonna read it here in a second, but goodness gracious, it really cuts me deep. Danny Paddock says very emotional. I cried when we won against Tennessee and NC State. I cried hard after Tennessee. NC State, I did not feel that way. You could saw, and I want to apologize to your ears for me assaulting them during the post game, but I was so loud. And if you were listening to headphones, there's no way you stuck with it. That's probably why the views were down, but I don't care. I could, I was, that was too much for me. That was a different emotion. The Tennessee game was just, it wrecked me. Your boy Max G says quick cast in quotes and then he laughs. And that's hurtful. That's hurtful because we're at a minute, an hour and 20 minutes already. Joey Ortman says, my son and I are here in Phoenix. Awesome, Joey. And I was at the NC State game. Excellent. Wait till you see the Purdue fans in the stadium. Unbelievable showing. I cannot wait. John Richard says, got to get a quick foul on Klingon and it will change the whole game. I agree with this. I agree with this. So we'll see what happens. Paint's pretty good at getting guys in that position. Danny Paddock again says, my Purdue PTSD runs deep. I'm 47-year-old Purdue fan, former student. I'm with you, Danny. Am I 48? I think I'm 48. 48, yeah. Isn't that great? So I don't know if you have that happen, Danny, or if that's just me being a dumbass, but I can't remember my age, so that's cool. 49 in August, in case you want to get me flowers. Matt Keller says, Dowd's so happy that you were able to get there to the game tonight. Same here, Matt. Appreciate it. Appreciate the sentiment from you and everybody else. Really awesome. Jason D says, would you take a natty tonight, but it means Paint takes the Kentucky job tomorrow? Whew, that's a good question. There, I love it. Right away, Chris says no. And I think I'm with him. And how much has our perspective, like our perspective has been pretty solid at Boiled Sports about Painter. We think we're pretty blessed to have Painter in the Purdue family. And I think the longer view is great with Paint still. And I'll be very honest, when Paint had those two seasons where they were at the bottom of the conference, we were like, okay, it's probably time for a change. I'll be very honest. You can go back. It's all documented, so I'd be a fool to deny it. But we were pissed off at Painter, and we were pissed off at the way the team looked and the culture of the team. And the there was some bad things happening right then when Purdue was at the bottom of the conference. And even off court, things were not good for everybody involved. I'm not going to dig into that too deep. But I really like this older, wiser, mature version of Paint a lot. I like him as well as any coach in America right now, which says a ton. Hurley is a great coach, and he's an absolute lunatic, and I don't like him. And I'm glad, it's weird, because I'm such an emotional guy. For years, I wanted Paint to work the refs more. I still would like that, just a little bit, because I think it's important. Speaking of refs, by the way, Prancy, the high stepper ref, is working this game. And that is not a joke. It's really happening, and that is absurdly bad that the NCAA would let that happen. Anyway, I love the fact that Painter's steady and he's honest. And he said it to the media yesterday. He said he's had assistant coaches say, you got to tone down some of the honesty, some of the storytelling, because we're not going to have anybody on the roster. And I think Painter's long view has always been, no, I'm going to be very honest with these guys, tell them exactly what the truth is, and there's no bad surprises and letdowns, so they jet on campus. That's part of the magic sauce, isn't it? So, yeah, my buddy Ryan just texted me and said, national championship over everything. Now, listen, he talks big, but you don't want to mortgage your future for something today. You really don't. I don't care what it is. And I've used that quote multiple times today. I used it with Jay on a sidebar conversation. Getting to the championship's awesome. Getting to the Final Four is awesome. If you believe what I believe, they're going to go back, regardless of what the outcome is today. I'm not hedging anything. But I would not want to see Painter in Kentucky blue. I think that would actually piss me off very badly. Yeah, I don't want that at all. Your boy Max G says, coaching Kentucky would be hell for Painter. He gets worked up when players don't get time. Imagine a team full of McDonald's All-Americans. He gets worked up when players don't get time. I think you're exactly correct. The whole thing, he is process-based, and Kentucky is not process-based. Their fan base is not process-based. They don't think that way. No, Mark Garrity says, I don't think Painter's leaving. No, I don't think Painter's leaving either. But I think it's an interesting thought exercise. That's it. And it's a good thing to challenge us a little bit about what we think. Matt Keller has got the last comment of the day. Kevin Pass says, Painter is here until he retires. Matt Keller says, let's just remember tonight that this will be Edie's last game to ever play as a Boilermaker. Hoping it's a national championship. Let's enjoy it. Boiler up. And that is a perfect place to end in this tidy quick cast of just 85 minutes. Very, very good place to end. Very good place to end. Savor this for what it is. Savor this. Enjoy, if you stayed back in Indiana and you're watching it with people you love, enjoy that moment. And if you're here, soak it up. I'm going to do everything that I can to soak it up. Kevin passed. I'm sorry. This is a great comment. And he says, I just noticed the Mohawk. We're winning it all. Yes. I'm surprised I haven't got a comment out that. And I didn't want to, I promised you. I think I promised right around the Grambling game I was gonna grow out the Mohawk. And I did. And the problem with growing out a Mohawk when you're balding as badly as I am is it's sparse and it's gray because I'm 48 years old. But yeah, I've got a Mohawk. You know why? Because it's time to fight. We're warriors right now. I know I'm being silly here, but yeah, I thought it'd be a fun thing to do. So the Mohawk has been here for the run. It just has now shown itself right before the championship. 85, 86 minutes on a quick cast. That's a record, I believe. Hammer down. Enjoy the time with your family. This is a blessing. This is a blessing. This is incredible. Savor it for what it is. Hope that there's more in the tank for more later. Let's watch the Boilers win the championship. Cut down another set of nets, don't we? Shall we? Let's go. Let's go. See ya.